Well, that's, again, a natural reaction to a conflict where a great deal was perceived to be at stake. And it's interesting to ask exactly what was perceived to be at stake that caused this hysterical reaction in which class loyalties were expressed with such complete candor and, in fact, fanaticism. An article that appeared in the New York Times the day after the vote, that's incidentally one of my favorite issues of the New York Times, that day after the vote. There was another one which gave the first analysis that the Times had presented of what the economic effects of the NAFTA agreement were likely to be for the New York region. And it spelled them out. Let me see if I got it here. It said that there would be many gainers. The gainers would be sectors based in and around finance, the region's banking, telecommunications, and service firms, insurance companies, investment houses, corporate law firms, the PR industry, a vast assortment of such professional service firms from management consultants and public relations to law and marketing. They're all poised to seek new businesses in Mexico. Banks and Wall Street securities firms, which would probably draw more benefit from the pact than any other businesses, say they're itching to buy Mexican businesses or invest in them. Some manufacturers would gain, namely high-tech industry and pharmaceuticals, both of which would benefit, they didn't mention this, but I add, would benefit from the increased protection. This version of NAFTA is highly protectionist, which is why American corporations liked it so much. A major part of that was increased protection for patents and what's called intellectual property, generally provisions that are designed to ensure that the technology of the future and the products of the future will be monopolized by U.S.-based transnational corporations. In addition, they said two of the region's two largest manufacturing industries would benefit, namely the capital-intensive chemical industry, not many workers there, so they'll benefit, and publishing. They'll, of course, benefit from the highly protectionist measures that are being added. Publishing doesn't refer to Covered Action Quarterly and Lies of Our Times, but to the enormous propaganda apparatus run by the corporate system, which will indeed benefit. Incidentally, they didn't ask whether that raises some ominous questions about the Times editorial position, but I'll put that one aside. They also mentioned, there's a couple of sentences scattered in the article that says, well, you know, it's not perfect. There's going to be a few losers, too. Here's the losers. Predominantly women, blacks, and Hispanics, and semi-skilled production workers, which means about three-quarters of the workforce. So in other words, it's not perfect, you know, but basically pretty good. Going back to Anthony Lewis and labor being driven by fear of foreigners and fear of change and being unenlightened, I mean, looking at the predictions, one can perhaps draw some other conclusions. I should say that these analyses of the effects of NAFTA are quite general. Across the board, if you look at economists who supported it, which is almost all of them, and the few who questioned it, they do agree on some things. They agree that it will have the effect of increasing the polarization of the society. That means the benefits from NAFTA will be highly concentrated in wealthy sectors, the kind that the Times listed. And the costs of NAFTA, this version of NAFTA, will, in fact, it's designed for this purpose. You can imagine other NAFTAs, but this NAFTA was designed so that the costs will spread over the whole population, who will probably suffer an absolute decline from it. So one of the most highly regarded analyses by a professor at UCLA estimates that by the end of the decade, this version, he, I think, is in favor of NAFTA, that the, by the end of the decade, this version of NAFTA will add about $3,000 annual income to sectors of the kind that the Times listed among the gainers, and it will lead to about a $700 a year annual decline, absolute decline in real income for the losers that the Times indicated, the workforce by and large. And that'll average out, he estimated, to a loss for the general population of about $200 a year in real income by the end of the decade. Exactly what effect NAFTA will have on you know, job flow is kind of hard to estimate. Those are sort of meaningless calculations because the economic models are so ridiculous that they don't tell you anything. But the effect on polarization is very plausible. Very plausible, and in fact held with near unanimity. Even the most fervent advocates of NAFTA conceded that it's going to have this effect of harming semi-skilled workers, which again, I stress, means about 70 or 75% of the workforce, and other losers like women, blacks, Hispanics, and you know, other kind of minor elements like that.